Gents, this might be the most important book you ever read. Here's why. Your choice to pursue beauty and seduce women, or your choice to succumb to the pixel-powered pleasure world that beckons you with its siren song from every glowing screen, and your choice of who to intertwine your body with have a massively outsized impact on the trajectory of your life. You can make all the right choices when it comes to your career, what you study, how you spend your time, your health, and who your friends are. But if you invite the wrong kind of woman into your bed, she can ruin your life, while the right kind of woman by your side will enrich your life in ways you can't even imagine and propel you to new heights. Your entanglements with women are the ultimate high-risk, high-reward game. And this book will imbue the savvy seducer with the wisdom and tools to win that game with every thrust into the future. I'm Jonathan Roseland, the banned on Amazon author of Don't Stick Your Dick in a Blender, How to Meet a Nice Girl Instead, from a tantric husband with a better sex life than you. The second edition, updated and improved, just dropped. You can get it as a print, audio, or digital book via the link below. What follows is the first chapter, The Inevitable Uncondoming. And this chapter alone may seriously change your life. Listen to it a couple of times. And after listening to it, give it some thought. You might want to do something crazy, like going for a contemplative stroll in a cemetery without your smartphone. I bet you got a cemetery not that far from you. With that preamble out of the way, enjoy chapter one.
Through a woman's beauty is the only way we can achieve genetic immortality in this world. Through her shape, we cast our essence into the future. The only way that we defeat death, practically, and become like God, metaphorically, creating new life in our own image. Your legacy, in the truest sense, is the exponential effect of your genes striving for the future. But if you fail to plunge into womanly beauty and leave a part of yourself there, then in the grand arc of history, no matter what you accomplish in this life, you will be like a spear falling from a great height into a dark pool. Your legacy, barely a ripple.
Chapter 1, The Inevitable Uncondoming. It's rough out there for a single guy trying to meet a not-awful attractive girl. I know what you're going through. You're either sick and tired of wasting your time trying to meet girls online or in the real world who are astoundingly flaky and hard to get out on a date. You seem damned to flounder in the friend zone where nobody wants to touch your dick. Or you're actively dating, but the girls are so monotonously predictable in their shallowness, smartphone addiction, and general lack of putting in an effort towards having some semblance of a new relationship. Or you're disappointed by the shoddy quality of the options you have. the girls you could date are just not attractive or feminine enough to get you excited. Whatever the case is for you, you're growing cynical about women. The reward is just so minuscule for the effort you put in dating or trying to date women. And since you're reading this, you're probably red-pilled on women. You get that women are dangerous because of their amazing capacity to drain our bank account balances and lighten our wallets. All the crazy, demented, narcissistic women out there. Unplanned pregnancies and nasty STDs. The life-ruining threat of a false accusation that looms over heterosexual men in the hysterical hashtag MeToo era. Their propensity to cheat and lie. Divorce and the tyrannical, man-hating family court system. And the minefield of dating and romance scams, which must be avoided. The red-pilled man has heard enough ridiculous, enraging stories of the fairer sexes' inglorious and skanky antics that he knows that sleeping with the wrong girl is metaphorically and perhaps literally, considering all the relentless venereal diseases out there, akin to sticking your dick in a blender. This book is unapologetically a right-wing, traditionalist take, but I realize that might not be exactly how you align ideologically. You might be more liberal, progressive, or libertarian in your views, and you might be thinking,
it's not the 1950s anymore. How is an old-fashioned, right-wing, traditionalist take on dating and courtship going to help me in the current year?
You might be thinking that as you're about to put this down. First, I'll remind you of what Aristotle said.
It is the mark of an educated mind to be able to entertain a thought without accepting it.
I'm not trying to shove any advice down your throat. You're already well aware of the mainstream liberal take on dating, sex, and relationships. You get it from television. You get it from numerous popular gurus. You get it streamed via Netflix. You get it from New York Times best-selling relationship books. You get it from your college professors. You get it from TED Talks. And you can even get it next to the gum in the magazines sold at the grocery store. Shouldn't you at the least entertain the counterpoints to what's so mainstream? Secondly, I'm a very happily married man who almost certainly has a better sex life than you. I won a great woman's heart and undying commitment. She respects me immensely, and we have hot sex all the time. This is the result of integrating a traditionalist mindset, which upholds truth, beauty, and the sanctity of family with the cutting edge of accelerated personal growth tools and strategies. It's fine to disagree on politics or ideology, but you can't argue with the result. Red-pilled in jail. In my early 20s, I was arrested and spent 3 days in jail for an unpaid speeding ticket. Here's the good thing about jail. It can be very educational. In the Arapaho County Jail south of Denver, I spent hours talking with the other prisoners, hearing their stories about how they ended up there. The commonality among many of them was that their troubles started with or were exacerbated by women. Having sex with, partying with, living with, and making babies with the wrong women resulted in a cascade of consequences that ended up with them locked up, sleeping on a hard bed, in a cell, and sitting across from me, eating yet another jailhouse meal of barely identifiable slop. It was a sobering lesson that was probably well worth going to jail for 3 days to learn. Although, frankly, I didn't heed the warnings unwittingly issued to me by my fellow inmates as much as I should have. I would go on to stick my dick in several blenders, but fortunately, the blend button was never really pushed. Dumb luck, along with a modicum of common sense and self-control, kept me from getting really scorched in the ensuing decade that I danced with fire. And scorched is metaphorical there, because I did, in fact, catch on fire once during a date and was badly scorched. That story is in the next chapter. Given the danger involved with women and the seeming impossibility of meeting a decent girl, a lot of men are going MGTOW, retreating into the digital opium den, pixel pleasure world of endless internet porn and video games. And many decent, ambitious men, given the state of the sexual marketplace, choose to just focus on their careers. They imagine that in just a few years, when they're making good money and can afford to status signal a little with a fancy apartment, shiny cars, or really fly clothes, then they will take the dating thing seriously. Their dream girl will appear, swoon at the sight of all their cool shit, and they will live happily ever after. In the current year, many men are, in quiet desperation, doing something almost totally unprecedented in the history of life on this planet. They are shrinking back from their genetic duty to reproduce. Nothing else with DNA does that. But you wouldn't be reading this if you had already given up hope on women. And for that, I applaud you. The challenges your male ancestors faced included being sent off to fight in brutal wars, surviving frigid winters in the unforgiving wilderness, or breaking their backs, plowing fields to put just a little food on the table for their families. Contrasted against the harsh history your genes have been through, the challenging task of meeting, romancing, and seducing a virtuous woman is really not that bad. Story time. A malicious madre in Medellin. I was in my co-working space in Medellin, Colombia, where I lived for almost 3 years, when my buddy Phil, an English guy also living there, texted me.
Mate, you would not believe what I'm dealing with. Buy you a beer tonight?
I agreed, and a few hours later, Phil swung by my co-working space, and we cracked open some beers at a nearby patio. Phil had stuck his dick in a blender and was really starting to regret it. Sometimes we all need a friend to listen to our woes, so that's what I did. Phil was another expat, like me, living in Colombia and enjoying Las Mujeres. Phil was tall, charming, spoke fluent Spanish, was a great salsa dancer, and had that regal Northern European look that the Colombianas find so exotically attractive. He had gotten a Colombian woman pregnant. She had recently given birth to a daughter. They had broken up, and now she was doing everything in her power to make his life hell. As Phil finished his third drink, he told me how this utterly spiteful woman had stolen his passport and told him that she had sold it to some local criminals who he would have to buy it back from. But what made Phil angry was that she was an awful, egregiously irresponsible mother to their daughter. She would do things like go out to party with her friends and just leave the very young baby alone at home. As Phil bemoaned his predicament with this awful woman, I stopped him and asked, "Man, didn't anyone ever tell you not to stick your dick in crazy?" He sighed and responded,
"I suppose I should have known better when she said we didn't need to use condoms after the second time we had slept together."
I would try to impart a bit more common sense to my friend, given the dire straits he now found himself in. But mostly he just wanted someone to listen while he drowned his sorrows. You might be thinking,
"I'm not a dumbass. I wouldn't stick my dick in a blender like your friend Phil because I use protection. I wear condoms so I don't get a crazy girl pregnant or catch some nasty bug."
But this is shallow or perhaps naive thinking. In a sweaty moment of passion, our primal instincts drag us against our best intentions toward reproduction. In case you haven't experienced it, here's how the inevitable uncondoming process goes. You sleep with a girl for the first time, and it's very exciting. Despite the awkward fumbling with the condom before penetration, she shows a lot of interest in your unsheathed cock, taking it enthusiastically in her mouth or rubbing it on her boobs. The second or third time you sleep together, you engage in some extremely arousing, unprotected genital rubbing. She rubs your cock on the outside of her moist pussy just to tease you before the condom goes on. The first night I spent with my 21-year-old Colombian ex-girlfriend, she just about made me go crazy, rubbing her wet, shaved, tight little pussy on my cock. "Is she gonna fuck me raw?" I thought to myself, as she purred in that sexy way that Latinas do in bed. But then she responsibly slipped the condom on me. Whether it's the second or the seventh time you have sex, inevitably your uncondom cock is going to slip into her. And the crazy thing is that it's usually her that sticks it in. If there's one thing that should confirm to you that many women are mental, it's that a lot of them will disregard a perfectly good condom just an arm's reach away and play Russian roulette with pregnancy or STDs, having unsafe sex with a guy on the first or second date. Over a decade ago, I was getting it on with this 19-year-old with great tits that I had met at an electronic dance club in the upstairs bedroom at a house party. The clothes come off, and we start banging. Then she pulls the condom off that I had put on to give me a bareback blowjob. And then she straddles me and just sticks my dick back inside of her, unprotected. As my body quivered with pleasure while she rode me cowgirl, I thought to myself, holy shit, this is unsafe sex. We should put the condom back on. But it feels so good. Funnily enough, we were then interrupted by a knock on the bedroom door from cops who had come to break up the party. While you may have the best of intentions to have very safe sex with new partners until you know that they are disease-free, using contraception, and wife material, of good enough character that you might like to have a family with them in the future, women can be amazingly cavalier about the guys that they let raw dog them. They may disregard the condom, telling you,
just don't come in me, okay?
And all those good intentions to have safe sex will go right out the window as that wet pussy beckons your throbbing cock. You'll, in a split second, justify a really bad decision. You'll say to yourself,
she's okay with having unsafe sex, so that must mean that she's certain that she can't get pregnant. And she must really like me because there's no way that she would do this with every guy she sleeps with. So it's fine. I'll just pull out before I come.
Famous last words. And once you've had unsafe sex, you two have crossed a Rubicon together in the bedroom. In a future moment of sobriety, one of you may insist upon using condoms, but condoms will become such a cumbersome nuisance that you'll just start raw-dogging all the time. And that's how unplanned pregnancies happen, along with potentially one day her crying to you on the telephone about deciding to get an abortion, or you having to get genital warts painfully burned off your cock by acid or a laser. The fact that so many unplanned pregnancies happen, despite the simplicity and affordability of contraception, speaks to our reproductive imperative that doesn't seem to give a damn about our intention to have safe sex like a responsible adult. Unless you and she have Herculean self-control, this is the way it's going to go. You're probably going to have unsafe sex before you really get to know her, and you may be sticking your dick in a blender, especially if she's coaxing your uncondomed cock past her jade gates early in the relationship. There's a better way of doing this, gentlemen. Oscar Wilde wrote,
I can resist all things except temptation.
And that's the truth. The fool tries to resist temptation, while the wise man avoids it. The solution to this inevitable uncondoming is simple. Keep your dick away from women whom you would not like to make a baby with. Give half your money to, and hang out with for the next 18 years. Apply the hell yes or no reasoning to this. Unless you have evidence that she would make a good wife or serious girlfriend, don't sleep with her. Unless you would like her to have access to your bank account for the next decade or two, and you are okay with reaping the consequences of her decisions for a long time, don't invite her to your bedroom. Keep your damn pants on around her, and don't waste your time going on more than a few dates with her. I just saved you, quite possibly, hundreds of thousands of dollars and years of living through hell. You're welcome. Story time. A Czech agent goes AWOL. Derek, an old friend of mine, had been chatting online for some time with a sexy girl from the Czech Republic. We all thought he was wasting his time with a catfish until she actually flew all the way to Denver, Colorado to meet him, and they promptly moved in together. We were all impressed that he had successfully imported a cute young girlfriend. However, they had numerous issues from the start. Derek is a black dude with a lot of swagger and confidence. He's a hardworking, ambitious, charming guy who drives a BMW and listens to classical music. But I can just imagine the cultural gulf between his very colorful family and a small-town girl from a backwater European country who didn't speak that much English. She got pregnant, and they decided to get married, but they couldn't make it work. She eventually decided to abandon her beautiful baby son and return to Europe. We all respected Derek for manning up and taking full responsibility for raising his son. His mother's contribution, I assume, wasn't much more than doing occasional Skype calls. I don't know all the details, and I'm sure I'm not doing justice to what was a very complicated and dysfunctional relationship. But we all found it pretty amazing that she just gave up on being a mom and went back to her country. It should be educational to Western men living in the US, UK, Canada, etc., who think the solution to meeting a nice, marriageable girl uncorrupted by feminism and all the other evils of neoliberal modernity is to simply import a girl from a poorer country. There's always that chance that she might get homesick when she discovers that life in America, or wherever you are, isn't as fabulous as Hollywood movies led her to believe, and decides to go home. Then there's nothing legally that you can do to stop her. Story time. Compelled kitty sacrifice. This final story comes from a guy I don't know. It's just something terrifying I read online. There's a lonely single dude in Boston who becomes desperate for female attention during the COVID-19 lockdowns. He's a bit overweight and not doing well on Tinder. So he turns to the R4R subreddit. Surprisingly, he connects with a cute and very witty 18-year-old Asian girl from Portland. He finds her to be very intellectual and politically like-minded. I assume she was liberal-leaning. And he suspects he's being catfished. A concern that she assuages by sending him a verification photo of herself holding her username written out. He can't believe his good luck, and an online romance ensues. They spend a lot of time writing back and forth and Skyping. After 3 weeks, she asks him where their relationship is going. She suggests that they meet, and he responds, assuring her that, quote,
money was no object, that she was legit, the most beautiful, charming young woman I'd ever met in my entire life.
She responded with a little bit of skepticism. Guys would tell her that sort of thing all the time, just to try to sleep with her. He writes,
"She asked me how far I'd be willing to go to prove myself to her. I told her as far as she needed me to go. At that, she just laughed, telling me how she doubted it. I was indignant. I'd do anything, everything she asked, just to make her believe it."
So he affirms that he's willing to do anything to prove that he likes her. So she tells him, "Get a knife."
I'm ashamed to say that there was barely any hesitation. I just trusted her. I trusted that she knew what was best for me. She already seemed to be able to read me like a book. She asked if I had an envelope handy. I told her yes, that I had a pack of about 100 crisp white envelopes. She told me to open one up. I obeyed. She told me to place the blade of the knife onto my palm. I obeyed. And when she finally gave me the order, I pulled the blade across my flesh and let fresh blood flow into the open envelope. It didn't even hurt. It's the strangest thing, but for the first few minutes, there was no pain at all. Just this dull, hot feeling as I watched the blood flow from the open wound, staining the perfect white of the paper a deep crimson. I held everything up to the webcam, showing her exactly how far I was willing to go for her. And oh my God, the look on her face, the way her pretty almond eyes seemed to light up, it just filled me with joy.
Then he mails her the envelope, as requested, and a few days later,
I remember being so excited at the prospect of her opening that envelope, of seeing her satisfaction at knowing what I'd done for her. And when she showed me her opening that thing over webcam, it was every bit as disgustingly glorious as I imagined. Her eyes lit up in that same adorable way, and she smiled in a way I'd never quite seen before, such a wide, white smile. She giggled as she held it up, bringing a hand to her mouth, and in one fluid motion, she brought the blood-stained envelope to her lips and kissed it. Only she didn't just kiss it. I watched transfixed as she began to lick at the dried bloodstains, spitting on them and lathering them with her tongue until the dried mess hydrated and formed a sticky crimson residue.
Unsurprisingly, then things escalated. A few days later, they get into a conversation about cats. She tells him she loves kitties, and he agrees to get a cat. Then she asks him if he likes cats more than her. Of course, he professes his undying love for her. She then tells him he'll have to prove it by murdering a cat.
She told me I could get a really old cat from a rescue center, one that was near the end of its life anyway, one that might well be suffering from joint pain or breathing trouble. She told me to look at it like an act of mercy, one that would prove I was the right man for her, one that could make difficult decisions and own them too. And I'm ashamed to admit, I agree to every word.
So, this pathetic man with an injured hand calls an animal shelter and inquires about adopting a cat, specifying that he wants to adopt an older cat. Finally, the insanity of the situation hits him when the animal care worker tells him what a rare, good-hearted person he is to adopt an unwanted old cat.
I think that's what did it. The sobering moment that made me realize how goddamn stupid I'd been those past few weeks. How lust and desire and loneliness had driven me to the point where I was willingly relinquishing my humanity. I'd never hurt so much as a fly in my entire life, and there I was, planning the murder of an innocent, essentially defenseless animal. I knew I had to do something.
So he decides not to murder the cat.
I thought about writing her a long goodbye message, explaining how I'd come to that decision, hoping it wouldn't hurt her feelings too much. But then, it occurred to me that she didn't really have feelings, not like you or I might do. She had a fixation on what she could do, and it all made sense in that context. She got off on power, on manipulation, and any way she could achieve that was justified.
And he makes a clean break from her online and moves on with his life. This final story I found so unsettling that I thought about it a bit. And I suspect that the deranged Asian girl was not actually interested romantically in this simpy, wimpy guy and aroused by blood and mutilation. He had admitted to her that he had money that he was willing to spend on her before she told him to cut himself. I suspect she was running a blackmail scam. She would hook guys online, ask them to cut themselves to see just how far they would go, and then talk them into killing a cat on camera for her, which she would ask to watch live. She would be secretly recording the video, and then she would use it to blackmail the guy out of a lot of money. People have so much righteous indignation about animal abuse that if a video came out of you killing a cat, you would be one of the most hated people on the internet. No girl who Googled you would ever want to date you. You would lose almost all your friends. It would probably really hurt your career. Who would want to hire someone that did that? You would have to pay up $10,000, $50,000, $100,000, however much she wanted, probably via an untraceable cryptocurrency transfer. And then she might release the video anyway. Scary, right? Similar online romance scams are waiting for you out there on the internet. Lest you despair regarding the prospect of finding a nice girl, let me share some of my story. I married a lovely Bulgarian girl, and it was the best decision I ever made. It has made me happier than anything else. I'll add that happiness is not my compass in life, at least not anymore. I spent about a decade pursuing hedonism, throwing crazy parties at nightclubs, traveling the world, trying drugs, driving fast cars, living in fancy condos, both of which had indoor waterfalls, surfing in Costa Rica, eating a lot of fine food at fancy restaurants, and drinking top-shelf booze. My go-to drink used to be Red Bull and Patron tequila. This is what I was drinking when I literally caught on fire. Along with all of that degenerate stuff and decadent experiences, I've also done a lot of finding yourself stuff. All sorts of meditation, an ayahuasca ceremony, tantric sex, etc. And believe me when I say that being married makes me happier. Here's when I knew that I had a marriage material woman by my side. We had dated for about 7 months. We had crossed that unsafe sex Rubicon. So I was starting to think about, what if I get this girl pregnant? If she gets pregnant, should we get married? If we got married, would I want to live in this country? She had been a great girlfriend thus far. But I needed to test her to see if she was really mother of my children type material. And I knew just how to do that. Like many young Europeans, she smoked cigarettes, which I disliked. It's the ultimate bad habit in my book because it's awful for your health long term. It makes you look and smell bad. And it's not even that much fun compared to other addictive things. So one night we had a talk about her smoking. I explained very diplomatically that I wanted her to quit because health had by that time become one of my most important values. I couldn't see myself in a serious long-term relationship with a smoker. Furthermore, my little brother had battled with cancer, dragging my family for years through the hell of iatrogenic, mainstream, slash burn, poison, cancer treatment. And I didn't want to take the chance that she might have to go through something similar. I didn't exactly make an ultimatum, quit smoking or we're breaking up. I just told her that I wanted her to quit because it was better for her and I would support her in quitting what can be a very hard to kick addiction. And you know what? She did it. If you've ever known a smoker, you know that they invent an unending string of delusional bullshit justifications for what's a really stupid habit that's not even that much fun, which may very well kill them and also poisons those around them with secondhand smoke. You also know that they tend to relapse when they quit. They go a week or two, and then they get stressed or have a few drinks, and they're back to smoking. But not her. She cut down to just a few cigarettes a week and then stopped completely. I kind of see smoking as a proxy for an IQ test. Are you going to seriously jeopardize your long-term health in exchange for a little bit of short-term pleasure? Are you cognitively capable of future casting your decisions? Do you have the empathy to see how your selfish decisions might affect people around you? But I also understand that smoking is culturally acceptable and even kind of encouraged here in this part of the world, and that probably nobody had ever given her a good reason to quit before, and I imposed standards. The fact that she did quit confirmed that she was intelligent enough to give up an addictive pleasure for health, not selfishly hedonistic, not deaf to reason, and possessing more self-control and discipline than the average smoker who relapses over and over again. This made her stand out in my eyes from all the women I'd known who were hell-bent on persisting in their foolish, self-destructive behavior, who seemed wholly incapable of thinking soberly about the future. But perhaps more importantly than all that, it demonstrated that she would make sacrifices to yield to my values. It meant that instead of hoping that the perfect woman would come along, I could sculpt her into what I wanted. If you spend any time around the red pill sphere of the internet, you'll find all these foolish single men describing their fantastical dream girl.
She must be young, under 25 years old. She can't be a single mother. She should be beautiful and feminine, nothing less than a 7 out of 10.
In chapter 15, I'll explain why the 1 to 10 hotness scale is a stupid way to look at women that may actually keep you from getting a beautiful girlfriend. But I do use it occasionally throughout the book because it's a categorization. You'll understand.
She shall maintain her hair at a certain length, wear dresses, and be mindful of her appearance. She should be playful and pleasant, but she should also be intelligent, able to hold a conversation, and not into trivial, superficial things. And she should be prepared to work. She can't be a lazy woman. She definitely can't be a feminist or other shade of liberal progressive. She must be a traditionally minded girl who wants to be a mother, not one of these, I want to focus on my career types. She should be able to cook and have some domestic skills. She should be sexually inexperienced, ideally a virgin, but also not awful at giving blowjobs. She must not be a committed pet mom to a dog or cat. She must not have tattoos. She doesn't need to be too political, but she should be right-leaning and not hate President Donald Trump. She mustn't be into any silly liberal political movements, social justice, tree-hugging environmentalism, legalizing drugs, animal rights, giving all the poor little black babies in Africa free iPads, etc. None of that. She doesn't have to be an economist, but she should be against socialism and have a right-leaning libertarian capitalist worldview. She can't have majored in college in the social sciences, arts, postmodern pet psychology, or some other stupid, useless degree. She must not be into any weird pseudo-spiritual find-yourself shit. She'll probably be at least a little religious, but not too religious because I don't want to wait until the wedding night to get laid. And I almost forgot, she can't have too much financial debt.
Newsflash, Red Pill Bros. This girl does not exist, or is so rare that you have very little hope of ever finding her. And even if you did find her, are you really man enough to woo her? Do you deserve a girl like this? What about her father, who would most certainly have extremely high standards about who he let date his daughter? Would he be impressed with you? On many of the Red Pill podcasts, these gurus proclaim that they would never settle for anything less than this unicorn right-wing dream girl. And what they have in common is that they are all single. They haven't managed to find her and win her heart. Now, this doesn't mean that you have to settle for a washed-up 36-year-old spinster who is super proud of her illustrious career as an HR manager in a corporation and lives with a colony of cats. But you have to drop a little bit of naivete about the heavens delivering unto you the marriageable girl you deserve. You don't find your dream girl. You make her. The funny thing is, my wife meets almost every criterion of the mythological red pill dream girl now, but she didn't when I met her. She changed for me. I also changed for her, but she changed more and for the better, certainly. In this book, we'll re-examine this list of criteria and discuss what you should demand and what's negotiable. We'll discuss how to effectively change a woman in a way that's not going to make her hate you. In a healthy relationship with a woman, you're not a dictator with absolute power. But it also shouldn't be a democracy where everyone has an equal say in everything. Having the talk. I'll share another defining moment early in our relationship. Having the talk about being boyfriend and girlfriend is more challenging than ever in modern courtship. Men and women in our culture are commitment phobes. They are regularly hanging out with and sleeping with someone, but they delay and delay in making it official. The illusion of choice paralyzes us. We imagine that someone better might come along, and we don't want to buy the car we've test driven and like because there are just so many cars on the lot. I contend that the modern woman is the worst offender in regard to commitment phobia. She's dating a decent guy, but she imagines that a handsome, wealthy, Christian Grey type character is going to come parachuting down, wearing an Armani suit, out of the sky, into her life, one day. And she wouldn't want to be Joe the lowly accountant's girlfriend if that happened. And the modern woman's commitment phobia is not totally disconnected from reality. We live in an unprecedented time of deregulation of the geographic sexual marketplace. A hot girl, or a girl who can make herself look hot in photos, is being deluged with attention online. Guys are offering to buy her trips and jewelry all the time. Most of them don't actually have the means to, but some do. I've known pretty Ukrainian and Colombian girls who would receive these unbelievable offers to go on luxurious vacations from random wealthy men from Dubai or China. And sometimes the offers turned out to be legit. Thus, many men who are casually dating a girl they like feel that they shouldn't be the one who proposes commitment. They worry that it communicates neediness and that the girl might reject it. Dating can be somewhat like a poker game, and men worry that they might lose if they show their hand. We all know that there's an undeniable power held in a relationship by the person who is least interested in the relationship, who can take it or leave it. In dating, women are revolted by guys who are very interested early on and attracted by guys who seem a bit cavalier about the relationship. In the past, things were a lot simpler when sex was the clear line of demarcation between casual dating and a real relationship. So that was the dilemma I faced after dating for a few months. At the time, I didn't quite understand Bulgarian culture enough to know that she had already assumed that I was her committed boyfriend because we were sleeping together regularly, which is the way it should be, really. I didn't want to ask her to be my girlfriend. I didn't want to be the one requesting exclusivity. I was still kind of interested in playing the field, even though that night I was a little bothered that she had gone out clubbing with her girlfriends the previous weekend. So I proposed a double standard that I had to other girls I dated casually. I told her something like, "Look, I'm going to sleep with other girls, but this is not a two-way street. You're not going to sleep with other guys. I will provide for your sexual needs. I'm not going to tell you about the other girls I'm fucking, as that will hurt you and make you jealous, but I am going to do it. These other girls are just sex to me. I don't care about them as I care about you. I won't be taking long walks on the beach with them. These girls won't be sleeping in my bed, and I won't be kissing them in the mornings. They will be fucking and then going home in a taxi. And I'll use protection when I sleep with them so I don't bring you any nasty surprises. If you don't like that, you're free to leave me." And she rejected my double standard, responding,
"I don't want to be in a one-sided open relationship."
Which is, of course, how any decent, self-respecting woman should respond to such an indecent proposal. Proposing this double standard would turn out to be relationship Aikido, because she responded that she wanted to be my girlfriend and put me in the position of being the one choosing if that's what I wanted. It allowed me to retain a bit of that free-spirited bad boy allure that's so irresistible. It offended her quite a bit, but women will almost always reward this sort of risk-taking. What they reject and scorn is neediness. In retrospect, I didn't need to have this talk with her that way. She wanted a real relationship, not some sort of modern, doomed-to-fail, polyamorous arrangement. And I would have known that if I understood the culture there just a little better. After a decade of dating American and then Colombian women who demand an emotional roller coaster of drama and jealousy from their amante, I had learned to signal unattainability. There's a better way to have the talk and make her your girlfriend. Simply refer to her as your girlfriend without asking her permission. Get one of your friends to call you while the two of you are hanging out and just cavalierly mention, "I'm hanging out with my girlfriend tonight." If she doesn't want to be your girlfriend, she'll object. As with almost everything, it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. What to expect from this book? The solution to not sticking your dick in a blender is to have high standards. This is counterintuitive to the mainstream advice that you should not judge people. It's also contrary to the pickup artist seduction community advice that you should sleep with any girl attractive enough to give you an erection who will go to bed with you to build up abundance with women. I'll explain later why this is such a bad idea, despite being widely marketed. The challenge with having high standards is that you need to attract a higher quality of woman, something that you may have failed to do thus far. We're going to delve into the strategies and life hacks for doing so. Most men's only standard is, if a woman is willing to sleep with them, they are totally willing to go dumpster diving if it gets them laid, and they fail to become the object of desire of higher quality women. To get onto the radar of the kind of women you want in your life, you're going to need to implement and stack multiple accelerated personal growth strategies. Next, where to meet a nice girl. Perhaps you're frustrated by the apparent stark lack of opportunity in your social circle or geographic locality. I'll share some hunting grounds you probably haven't thought about, which you'll find a lot more fruitful. In this book, I'll use girls and women interchangeably to refer to the fair sex that you're after. Other than the important legal difference between girls and women, which you should look up in your locality, it seems that we call women girls when we're referring to them as desirable sexual objects. And yes, women are sexual objects, as are men. Whereas women are our mothers, our sisters, our coworkers, etc. Sorry, not sorry, feminists. No apologies for using this language as it's used in common parlance. I'll also use the phrase virtuous when describing the kinds of women you should endeavor to seduce. But you might say,
there are no virtuous women. They are all imperfect and flawed.
Of course, I mean relatively virtuous. A woman who has the potential to deeply enrich your life. The rational seducer makes moral judgments about women, passing on the blenders, not to be pious, but because the women you sleep with can have such a tremendous impact, for the better or the worse, on the trajectory of your life. Next, the promise and pitfalls of online dating. Should you do it? How to avoid wasting tremendous amounts of time clicking, swiping, messaging, and chatting with girls who won't give a damn about you. Next, should you date foreign women? In my 8 years living abroad in places like Kiev, Ukraine, and Medellin, Colombia, I talked with many single, handsome, intelligent, somewhat successful younger men from America, Canada, the UK, Germany, and Sweden, among other first world countries. What did they have in common? They were fleeing feminism and seeking beauty and femininity. Is a poor, developing third world country the place to go to find a nice, marriage-minded girl? Well, that sure worked out well for me. I'll explain what I did right and the numerous pitfalls to this approach. Many men who travel to Colombia, Thailand, or Ukraine fail miserably in finding love, wasting thousands of dollars in the endeavor. Next, tantric techniques to up your sex game. There's a set of physical techniques refined over millennia that give you a lot more control over what your dick does when you give it what it wants. Tantric practice is not pseudo-spiritual degenerate nonsense. It's a heightened mastery of your body for powerful sex that imbues tranquility and deepens the love between you and your woman. If you want your woman to be genuinely excited about serving you day in and day out, cultivate yourself as a tantric man. Next, the red pills without the hopelessness. I'm not going to pull any punches to be politically correct and inoffensive to women because they don't handsomely compensate me for my advice. Men do, in almost every business I've been involved with. This book is self-published, so I don't have an editor in New York telling me what I can or can't say. But along with some of the tough truths about women, I'm also going to break down why there's a lot of reason to be optimistic about finding love and getting married one day. I'm not one of these men who have idiotically spent half their life with awful women and are now cynical and bitter. I've mostly had good women in my life, and it's been a real pleasure. Next, dating for the logistically and economically challenged. Perhaps you're thinking,
meeting a nice girl would be no problem if I had a decent car, my own place in a not terrible location, and the money to take girls out. But I'm lacking one or all of those things.
We'll delve into some life hacks for getting around these apparent obstacles. Next, how to date in the post-COVID-19 era. The world has changed, and the way people socialize and meet is going to change, thanks to the global pandemic/plandemic. It may become more challenging to get girls out on a date, but in some unexpected ways, it will make dating easier for the right kinds of guys. Next, overcoming a physical imperfection. If you are like me, every time you catch your reflection in a mirror, you notice what everyone else notices: your conspicuous physical imperfection. This will hold you back from finding love, but only if you let it. Next, you'll notice that there are a lot of footnotes. That's because this book is not the world, according to Jonathan. I need to back up my assertions and views with evidence. As a writer, I'm a big hyperlinker. I want to provide a lot of rabbit holes for you to explore. And it would break up the flow of this book for me to include a lot of links in the middle of the chapters. You may notice that many footnotes link back to my own website. That's because I research a wide range of topics. If you ever find yourself saying, "Do you have a study for that?" follow the footnote and you'll find it linked on my website, where I quote and cite studies liberally. I don't want to put you to sleep reading this book. Next, storytelling. I'm an avid reader of nonfiction personal growth books, and many of them end up being rather dry reads due to a lack of engaging storytelling that effectively illustrates the points being made. This makes me a little suspicious that the author lacks a broad range of life experiences. Expect a wealth of storytelling in these pages, which will help immortalize the ideas and mindset I want to impart to you. Next, this book will likely be outdated in 10 years. Ask your dad for advice about how to meet a nice girl, and he'll get, most likely, laughable platitudes and useless tips that worked in the 1980s, viewed through the lens of decades of compromises that he made to live in a state of domestic tranquility with women. Our culture moves fast. What I did to meet, seduce, and marry a nice girl in 2018 will work now, but may not in the year 2030. I'll write a marriage book in the future if I'm qualified to do so. Next, the experience of a happily married man who has a better sex life than you. Pickup artists and men's dating gurus are a dime a dozen. The internet is this tremendous factory for producing unqualified gurus with crappy advice. It is the temple of the cult of the amateur. And I urge you to be suspicious of gurus who never get into serious relationships or get married. Take with a grain of salt the advice that comes from men well into their 30s or 40s who spend half their time trying to have casual sex with different girls every weekend. This is justifiable in your early to mid-20s, but you have to question the maturity and wisdom of older men who are still doing this. Their advice and teachings, though, are not wholly fraudulent and useless. If you follow the teachings of Real Social Dynamics or Art of Charm, you will get laid more if that's what you struggle with. Although a lot of these pickup artist training companies have removed a lot of their best material from the internet because of growing censorship of anything politically incorrect or edgy. You wouldn't go to a bicycle mechanic to show you how to performance tune a Ferrari. And you wouldn't take a fat guy's diet advice. If your goal is not to chase women perpetually, but instead to eventually get married and have a family like a normal person, this book will help you. Again, I won a nice girl's heart and undying commitment. She respects me immensely, and we have amazing, mind-blowing sex all the time. How many of the YouTube pickup artist gurus selling online courses can claim this? We've been together for nearly 7 years now, and we're having better sex than ever before. We've managed to keep the flame alive. If that's what you want, read this book with keen attention. Next, length. The 19 chapters here total over 100,000 words, which is huge for a dating book. Most books in this category are 30 to 50,000 words, but I wanted to get detailed on some of the advanced social dynamics strategies and include storytelling to illustrate them. If you flip to the table of contents, you'll see that this book is very modular. Feel free to jump around to the topics that interest you. Next, pictures. To keep things interesting, I include photos and imagery. At the end of each chapter, I'll include a photo of my wife's cooking or something lovely she created in the kitchen, just in case you need any more motivation to win yourself the devotion of a talented, full-service woman. My wife is not my maid. Cooking is far from her favorite thing to do. She does it because she loves me and I have the cooking skills of a toddler. I'll share a few reading life hacks for optimizing your metabolism of the knowledge in these pages into wisdom. Super memo. You should highlight and take notes as you read. When you come across something in this book that you want to commit to memory, highlight it, hit copy, and add it as a flashcard in the Super Memo app on your smartphone or computer. This app is the best tool I've found for hacking, forgetting, and high-leverage learning. Its algorithm will prompt you to review what you've learned at specific intervals, optimal for you. When you add a flashcard, you'll need to add a question or hint that will prompt you to remember. This well-designed software has helped me learn two languages. It's worth a download, and it's free. Next, let your working memory consolidate what you've read. I'd encourage you to read in the evenings before bed. Dwell on the ideas as you drift off to sleep, or go for a walk without your smartphone after reading a chapter and contemplate it. Listen to the audio chapters repeatedly. Using social media or your smartphone after reading a chapter will scramble your working memory and you'll lose some of the knowledge you've paid me for. Next, record your journey. As you're reading, keep a little diary of your thoughts and what you're learning. You could do this the old-fashioned way with a pen and pad, but I contend that vlogging or making voice notes is better. This engages your verbal memory. All you need is a webcam or smartphone to vlog. Your vlogs don't have to be public. Your vlogs or voice notes don't have to be scripted or look or sound good. What you take a few minutes to verbally articulate will remain all the more concrete in your mind. A big thank you for choosing to read my book. I hope to hear about how it one day results in you finding love and meaning in the arms of a great woman. If there's any way I can help you on your journey, please email me at jr@limitlessmindset.com. About the second edition, I chose to re-release and update Don't Stick Your Dick in a Blender. Since the intervening years, since its publication in 2020, have massively validated the wisdom you can glean from these pages. We recently welcomed a beautiful baby boy to our household and have remained happily married for nearly 7 years, despite facing more than a few significant challenges together, which included the heartbreaking loss of a child whose face I will never see. The foundation that I laid, first with the superlative seduction of my woman, then with tantric practice, frame control, leadership, negotiation, biohacking, and other tools described here, gave us the fortitude to navigate the choppy waters of life together. Also, since its first publication, I've become a real stickler for good grammar, and the first edition had more than a few imperfections in that department. Next, join my newsletter. You might be interested in traveling abroad and dating exotic foreign women. This is what I did for about 5 years, and I've written witty, detailed, and picture-filled country and city reports on places like Kiev, Berlin, and Valencia. I share a first date spot in Medellin, Colombia, with panty-dropping ambiance, for example, along with other special reports covering topics like blowjob shyness be gone, 8 ways to inspire more enthusiastic blowjobs from your lady, and can you be a man going his own way and married, along with how to stay loyal to your woman. 6 steps to resilient sexual spiritual risk mitigation. And finally, want a beautiful girlfriend? Then stop focusing on your career. These reports are not in the book. You can get them by joining my email newsletter, which you will find linked in the digital book. I'll send you some articles and podcasts straight away that will complement this book. I do not spam or share this list. I'll send you emails with cool stuff that I come across, which I think you'll find helpful in this journey. When you join that newsletter, you'll also receive an invitation to the League of Limitless Gentlemen, a private accountability community where you'll be able to get feedback and encouragement from me and other like-minded guys. This group is hosted on Minds.com, which is the best pro-free speech, pro-privacy social network. And you might be thinking, not another social network to join. Facebook groups are very popular, but I wanted to create a male space for frankly discussing what may be some very private matters. Facebook is not a trustworthy platform for that, in my view. We'd love to have you in the league. Finally, your homework. To drive home the point of this book, tonight, go get your blender, unplug it, and stick your dick in it for just a moment. Look down at those menacing blades mere inches from your dick. Burn that image into your memory. Then apologize profusely to your dick and promise that you'll never again stick it somewhere dangerous. Summary: women are dangerous. Inviting the wrong woman into your bed and life can cost you vast amounts of money, ruin your life, or even get you killed. You must have higher standards than, she's willing to sleep with me and she gives me an erection. Because of the inevitable uncondoming and its consequences, make it a policy to only sleep with women who are wife material. It's becoming increasingly difficult to find a girl who aligns with traditional virtuous values. Instead, seek a feminine woman with a modicum of intelligence, humility, and rationality who will naturally adopt those values from you. Dating a foreign woman from a poorer country might be appealing to you, but there are a lot of ways it can go wrong. And finally, learn from experienced men who have what you want. And that concludes chapter one. I hope that you enjoyed the storytelling and that Oscar Wilde's quote sticks with you. I will reassign the mission that I mentioned at the beginning. Maybe listen to this one again and then go for a introspective stroll without your smartphone in a cemetery. I bet you have got one not that far from you. That'll be a beautiful experience and a chance for you to clear your head some and think about your life. Now, if you're listening to this at like 1.5x speed, you're going to want to hit that playback button and readjust it to normal speed, as I created an anthemic song to go with this book. I wrote it myself. I think you're really going to enjoy it. I'm Jonathan Roseland, author of Don't Stick Your Dick in a Blender. Enjoy, Accept Temptation. And that is with an EX, not an AC. Accept Temptation, like Oscar Wilde said.
Cells roar beneath your skin. Your 20,000 genes ignite when she strolls in. You chase the fire, not the screen, soft glow. For the brave desires, the path to grow. While the words on your tongue, tempting sins. You breathe a name and the hunt begins.
El deseo es fuego y tú eres su llama.
Passion should serve.
Body's truth will answer the call. Faith guides the hunter where others hide. Virtue or vice, the lines razor wide. Passion costs the most. In love's arena, kings are made. The brave will burn the coward's face.
Each risk, each wound, each burning night. Fuel for a future bright.
Quam braraton up and up, song calm.
When fire and faith become one flame, you play the ancient dangerous game. Oscar Wilde whispers through the haze. Resist all things except temptation. In her eyes,
testosterone coursing in your veins. The Promethean flame burning in your chest. And the star seed of 1,000 supernovas in your loins. So thrust with keen aim into the soft places that will take it. In the pages of this book, the savvy seducer will glean the wisdom to recapture destiny with every thrust into the future. With every thrust into the future.